from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, a ceasefire agreement is reached in Syria and a war of words between politicians on what's really going on in Hong Kong. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. Last week, thousands of politically active Christians converged on Washington, D.C. for Family Research Council's Values Voter Summit. We had a great time meeting so many people and hearing from so many great speakers. If you weren't able to attend, I want to let you know that you can go to tonyperkins.com and find a link to videos we've posted of many of the speakers. People like Dana Lash, Dennis Prager, Pastor Andrew Brunson, and President Donald Trump. Again, that's at tonyperkins.com. On Wednesday of this week, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed a resolution condemning President Trump's decision to pull troops out of Syria. Well, early on Thursday morning, the U.S. reached a ceasefire agreement with Turkey, with Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo getting personally involved. Here's the Vice President with comments made after the ceasefire was reached.
Earlier this week, President Trump took decisive action to call on Turkish forces to stand down, to end the violence, to agree to negotiations. And today, I'm proud to report, thanks to the strong leadership of President Donald Trump and the strong relationship between President Erdogan and Turkey and the United States of America, that today the United States and Turkey have agreed to a ceasefire in Syria.
Joining me now to discuss this encouraging development is Adam Kennedy, Deputy Assistant to the President and Deputy Director of White House Communications. Adam, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Adam, I understand that this ceasefire will be a pause in military operations for 120 hours. What is supposed to happen during this time frame?
We are working with our Kurdish allies to make sure that they are no longer in harm's way and to make sure that all humanitarian concerns get addressed during this period. We want to make sure that the Turkish government and their incursion in Syria are not exacerbating or worsening the situation.
So what will be the ultimate outcome as the Kurdish forces move back, the Turkish forces withdraw? Is this expanding the buffer zone between the two countries?
So Turkey has moved in. They announced they were going to move in. They told the president that they were going to move in no matter what. We had a choice about whether to have our soldiers there or not in harm's way in kind of the crossfire. We wanted to make sure that our soldiers got out of that crossfire. But Turkey has been very clear from the beginning that they're going to move into this area and create their own buffer zone, despite our protests. We have now worked with them to make sure that while they do this, that at least we're able to move people out of harm's way and stop some of this collateral damage from spreading.
So in exchange for the ceasefire, once this has become final, it's my understanding that the sanctions that the president approved will be pulled back.
Well, you know, there's going to be ongoing negotiations with Turkey. We see this as a step in the right direction, but the first step among many. The president was able to get to this point because of the pressure we're able to put on Turkey, and we'll have to wait and see if everything is fully abided by during this period.
Now, earlier today, actually this afternoon, there was a measure being pushed forward by Senator Graham as it pertains to sanctions, and he vows to move forward with that. Is that kind of in line with where the administration is going to keep the pressure on Turkey?
We do want the pressure kept on Turkey. We've seen the results of that. Turkey wanted to go in despite our protests. We wanted to make sure they understood the severity of that. But at the same time, we are seeing, I think, very good progress today. We want to build on that, and we hope that Senator Graham understands that progress.
Now, one of the points that the vice president made in his remarks there in Turkey at the embassy was, and this has been a focus. In fact, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was there with him. This has been something we've had conversations with the White House. In fact, I talked to the president about this on Saturday night, was religious freedom in northeast Syria being this unique development post-ISIS of democracy and religious freedom. And it sounded as if the vice president was saying the administration was pledging to try to protect that and assure that that can continue, that pluralism that we see in northeast Syria.
Absolutely. And that's why we secured a commitment from Turkey that no military action will be taken against the town of Kobani, which is a primary center for many of the religious minorities in that region. We're working hard with Turkey to make sure that they do not cause a humanitarian crisis and do not unduly harm religious minorities in the region.
So will I think Syrian forces are now in that area. Who will be, you know, keeping check on the Turkish forces?
Well, Turkey has stated that they're trying to create a buffer zone precisely about 20 miles into Syria. We understand that they have sought to do this because of what they consider to be incursions into Turkey from that area. And in terms of who's keeping Turkey in the check, I think the president took tough action in passing sanctions against them. I think he has spoken frequently about making sure that Turkey is held accountable to their own commitments to the United States and will continue to do so.
All right. Adam Kennedy, thanks so much for taking time to join us on this breaking news story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Adam Kennedy there. He is the deputy assistant to the president at the White House, giving us the latest on what is unfolding in northeast Syria. Join me now with more on this breaking news story. Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs here at the Family Research Council. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Good news. I mean, yesterday I was at the White House. The same time the president was meeting with congressional leaders, the vice president already on his way to Turkey along with Secretary of State. This is – if it works as they're describing and you have this religious pluralism, you have these Christians and other religious minorities being free to exercise their faith, I mean that's going to be a good outcome. But there are still many unknown factors here because we no longer will have a presence there.
Tony, there are a lot of unknown factors here. I mean, one, we now have Assad's forces backed by Russia in that area. I mean, these are folks who are not exactly in line with our understanding of religious freedom and the ability to live out that faith. The SDF and those forces were who were governing that area. So we don't know the new balance of power, exactly what level of autonomy the SDF and northeast Syrians gave up. That's question number one. The second point is I don't trust Turkey to oversee protection of religious minorities. I mean that's sort of interwoven in all this. We cannot trust Turkey to be overseeing any sort of humanitarian treatment of these folks, religious minorities or otherwise.
Now, I'm not clear if Kobani, which is a city that we have spoken about many times because this is one of the areas where religious freedom has really taken root, where you have people converting from one faith to another, openly living out. You've got this democratic kind of leadership taking place. You've got women in positions of leadership, something very unique in the Middle East. Where is that in relation to this buffer zone we're talking – this expanded buffer zone?
Well, Kobani is less than a mile from the Turkish border. So it would clearly be within any sort of buffer zone, certainly as the Turks see it. So I mean there's a lot that we don't know about this. I'm glad that we're taking action against them. I'm glad that we have a ceasefire. But we cannot trust Turkey to oversee this. And I think the best way to oversee this was what we had, where we had forces in there as deterrent, allowing that democracy to breathe. Now the democracy is being stifled and we've yet to see what's going to happen to it.
Of course, I think that has been made very clear that the forces that are there will be pulled out, the United States forces. You heard me when I asked Adam Kennedy about the measure being introduced by Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, that the senator has said he's going forward with that. And I think there's going to have to be something that's there that keeps the pressure on Turkey. And I mean, again, just the way this whole thing unfolded, I mean, it really should bring into question whether or not Turkey should be a NATO ally.
Tony, it should. In the vice president's press conference remarks, he referred to Turkey as an ally. He referred to Turkey as a friend and Erdogan as a friend. That's not good. I mean, they're not a friend to us. They're not a natural ally. They're a NATO ally by definition. But we have a misalignment of the ally on paper from our allies on the ground.
Yeah, and we should make note they're the only country, Islamic country that's in NATO, and there is a disconnect. I mean, this is the same country that a year ago. I mean, we celebrated this this past Saturday night, the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson, who was held in prison for 2.5 years.
Significant problems. We have a history of Turkey. They've been continuing to expel foreigners and foreign religious workers. And we know that they're using proxy forces who are committing slaughter. They executed a Kurdish female politician in the events of the last few days. They've committed other atrocities. This is not good, but it is good that Senator Graham is going after them with these sanctions and plans to move forward with this bill. It's hard-hitting and it needs to be hard-hitting to send a message to Turkey. They need to feel the consequences of this and know that this type of behavior can't be tolerated.
Yeah, the good news is there is a ceasefire. And so what was happening there between Turkey and northeast Syria there on that border, that in terms of the conflict, the bloodshed, that stops hopefully. There's 120 hours of ceasefire in which the Kurdish forces have agreed to withdraw from that buffer zone, and then hopefully the hostilities will cease. It's always been a troubled region, and that's one of the reasons we were there to begin with. Our big interest, though, of course, in having worked with many of those individuals in northeast Syria is the freedoms that they had when it came to religious freedom and the ability to participate in government, self-government. So that's what we'll be watching, and we hope that that will continue.
Tony, we really need you to pray for religious freedom there because we don't know the new balance of power exactly yet. We have Assad's forces and governance now in that area, and that will be a major factor, the major significant factor altering the power structure there. And we just need to pray for freedom to nevertheless prosper under God's providence in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. Travis Weber, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to continue to track this. And I think, as you said, pray. Now, by the way, we do have, before we we're up against a break, but we've got a petition. It would be good for people to sign.
We do have a petition, frc.org/Syria. Folks can go there and express their support for Senator Graham's bill as the way to penalize Turkey for their unacceptable behavior of the last few weeks here.
Yeah, you go there or we'll have it up at tonyperkins.com. Would be good to sign that and to pass that on to your friends as well.
Again, you can find out more about that petition when you visit tonyperkins.com. While you're there, you can also find out more about FRC's efforts to promote religious freedom abroad as well as here at home. You can find those details at our website. Again, that's tonyperkins.com.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. I want to invite you to join Luana and myself, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through June the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we had a great time meeting so many people at the Values Voter Summit last week in Washington, D.C. If you weren't able to attend, I want to let you know that you can go to TonyPerkins.com and find a link to videos we've posted of many of the speakers. People like Pastor Andrew Brunson, Dana Lash, Dennis Prager, and President Donald Trump. Again, that's at TonyPerkins.com. Now we turn our attention to China, who, among other things, has been in the news for the way the National Basketball Association here in the U.S. is afraid to criticize the way the Chinese government is cracking down on the people of Hong Kong. And now Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri has returned from a visit to Hong Kong and joins Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to discuss his trip.
Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you just returned from a trip to Hong Kong. What did you see firsthand?
Well, what I saw is that it is becoming a police state, Tony. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. This is a city of 7.5 million people that is united in protests against communist Beijing's attempt to take away their basic rights. But what's happening is that the Beijing-controlled government is suspending their right to protest. They are using the police force to violently put down protesters, to attack protesters. They are end-running, the chief executive is end-running the legislature to bring in anti-protest measures, and the people of Hong Kong have no say over any of this. It really is an urgent, urgent moment for Hong Kong and I think for the world.
All right, Senator, I want to play a short clip of what Carrie Lam had to say yesterday about your visit and allow you to respond to it. Play the clip with Carrie Lam.
As far as individual U.S. senators coming to Hong Kong, meeting with a lot of people and making comments, I have to say that I thought their visit to Hong Kong will enable them to see the actual situation in a comprehensive and objective manner. But unfortunately, the feedback that I've got is most of them, or several of them, coming here, they have very preconceived views about Hong Kong situation. That's why for this particular senator to describe Hong Kong as becoming a police state is totally irresponsible and unfounded. The Hong Kong police force is a highly professional and civilized force. I would challenge every politician to ask themselves if the large extent of violence act and all those petrol bombs and arson and attacks, deadly attacks on policemen happened in their own country, what would they do? What would their policemen do? So my simple response is to describe Hong Kong as a police state is totally unfounded.
Senator, your response?
It seems like we touched a nerve, doesn't it? I mean, the truth is for this, for her to say this when she is an unelected puppet of Beijing, you know, if she wanted to prove that she's actually accountable to the people, that the police force that she directs is accountable to the people, submit to a vote. Give the people of Hong Kong the right to vote on her as their chief executive. Give the people of Hong Kong some meaningful oversight of the police. But in fact, there is none. The police are able to do whatever they want to do. The government has taken steps to ensure that every average, everyday citizens can't bring, for instance, suits against the police when there's violence, and they have no say in the management of the city or in the management of the executive or the police. And Carrie Lam is a Beijing puppet, and she's taking Hong Kong towards a police state.
Now, are you concerned about the threats that the Chinese President Xi Jinping is making?
Yeah, I mean, he said, Tony, that anybody who tried to, in his words, interfere with Hong Kong, I mean, that there would be broken bones that would be ground to powder. It's very violent rhetoric. Again, I think it shows actually the weakness of Beijing, that Beijing is desperately afraid that people will stand up to them. And this is why they're trying to censor Americans. Let's not lose sight here that Beijing is, the Communist Party of China is trying to censor American speech. They're trying to make the NBA a part of their propaganda machine. They're trying to make Apple a part of their propaganda operation. They're trying to bully us into being quiet. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went to Hong Kong, because I said, I'm not going to be bullied. I'm going to go see for myself. I'm going to go out to the streets myself, which I did, and to see what the facts are.
You mentioned NBA. You mentioned Apple. Speak to that. I mean, we've seen the NBA in full retreat mode when it comes to China. Almost, I mean, it kowtowing to the threats of China. When you've got these people in Hong Kong that are simply doing what every American would like to do, or has the benefit of enjoying freedom. They just want freedom.
You know, it's terrible to see all of these corporations and the NBA at the top of the list put their own monetary interests. This is about making money. I mean, let's be honest. That's what the NBA is most interested in. If they have to sell out America and American values to do it, then they're unfortunately happy to do it. And that's just wrong, Tony, and it's sad. And, you know, the NBA ought to have a little backbone. I mean, they ought to remember that they are an American organization, at least they used to be, and they ought to start acting like Americans, which is that we don't bow down to dictators. We don't salute and take orders from communists. And when Beijing told them that they ought to go out there and they couldn't say anything about Hong Kong and that they needed to silence themselves, the NBA should have said, take a hike. They should have said, we're canceling all of the exhibition games in China until the Hong Kong situation is peacefully resolved. But they're not willing to do that. And listen, this is just the beginning, because this is how Beijing does business. They use their commercial leverage to try to impose censorship on Americans and American companies, to try to make American corporations part of their propaganda machine, and they're just going to keep doing it.
And the only counter leverage to that, I mean, we've seen this with Hollywood. Hollywood's doing it. We see the NBA doing it. I mean, selling out, as you said, American values and ideals. And even worse than that, all right, because I know you got, that's one issue. But you have, juxtaposed to that, you have these people in Hong Kong that are looking to America, upholding American freedom, waving American flags as a symbol of freedom. And we have those symbolic institutions of America willing to sell them out in a heartbeat. I think the counter to that is that American consumers need to take that to heart when it comes to making decisions about how they spend their money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, we've got to think about supporting the NBA if this is what they're going to do. I mean, if they're going to kowtow to Beijing, if they're going to become a propaganda mouthpiece for the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, let's not forget that Beijing, or the Communist China, they have been stealing our jobs for decades. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. They've been stealing our trade secrets, our technologies. They've been stealing from our workers. They're trying to build their military on the backs of our middle class. And they have grand designs. I mean, they want to shut up Hong Kong. Then they want to dominate Taiwan. They want to dominate the whole region. And they want ultimately America. I mean, they want to beat us. I mean, they are in a competition with us, and they're in it to win it. And our question has got to be, are we willing to stand up and say enough is enough?
Right. And we haven't even touched on the issue of religious persecution that China is involved in. And Uyghurs, other religious minorities in concentration camps. You know, and that's really where I almost lose it when it comes to the NBA and the others who are willing to kowtow to these tyrants who are literally abusing, killing, harvesting organs out of people. These people, this is atrocious what is happening.
It is absolutely atrocious. And freedom of religion, can I just say, you know, Hong Kong enjoys freedom of worship. They have freedom of worship. There are a number of faiths represented there, but the church, the Christian church, the Christian community is very vibrant there and very involved in this protest movement, in this freedom movement, which I think is a point of great pride. Exactly right. And that's the thing, is that if Beijing has its way, you better believe the first thing they'll do is get rid of freedom of worship, because
absolutely,
there's nothing more threatening to a totalitarian government than the right to worship and the right of conscience, and to say, you know, no government's going to tell me what to believe.
I mean, that's what Hong Kong, the folks in Hong Kong are seeing as they look at this really crackdown in mainland China over religious freedom. So, I mean, they're right to be concerned, because that's exactly what they would get, a loss of religious freedom.
Yes.
Senator, I want to shift gears before we run out of time here. I was actually at the White House earlier for a meeting. As I was walking in, Senator Mitch McConnell and the congressional leadership meeting with the president over Syria. Another issue related to religious freedom, Northeast Syria being a place where religious freedom was beginning to take root. Now that could very well be lost with the Turkish military moving in there. Syria aligning now Assad with Northeast Freedom troops there and the defense forces there in Northeast Syria. What's the latest?
Well, that's a good question, and we're getting briefed on this tomorrow, and so hopefully we'll get some hard facts about this. The Armed Services Committee is hearing testimony behind closed doors, actually, so we're supposed to be getting the latest intelligence. I'll just tell you, Tony, from my point of view, that, look, I think essentially abandoning our long-term allies in the Kurds, the people who have stood by us, is a mistake, and I think that we do have to refocus in the Middle East. We're not the Middle East policemen. We shouldn't be the guarantor of regional stability. We need to get refocused on counterterrorism in the Middle East. All of that is true, and all of that is important, but that does not mean that we give the green light to Turkey to come in and to overrun these folks who we have fought with alongside for decades now. So I hope that we'll pursue potential sanctions on Turkey. I think that calling for a ceasefire is absolutely necessary, and I hope that the administration will get tough with them. But, this has been unfortunate.
Yeah, I think Senator Lindsey Graham has his bill calling for some tough sanctions. We've been supportive of that. Talked to him last week on that. So I do think we've got to make the best of the situation, putting the squeeze on Turkey and dealing with the humanitarian crisis that's going to unfold here as we've got more and more refugees coming out of Syria. Senator, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us and giving us a good readout on your trip to Hong Kong.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Family Research Council's efforts in the area of religious freedom when you visit tonyperkins.com. While you're there, why don't you sign up for Tony's email update, where you can find additional stories about many of the topics we cover here on Washington Watch. Again, that website is tonyperkins.com. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.